we're gonna get the message today. But first, I want to ask you guys some questions. Can I ask you guys some questions?
Yes, sir.
Now, does anybody watch the news? Is it who? Hey, let me see hands. Let me see a show of hands. Who watches the news? Who? The weather does count. That is the news. That is part of the news. Thank you, Fritz. I appreciate that. Now, does anybody keep up to date with current events or anything like that? You guys talk about current events in school and stuff?
Dad, wasn't there a shooting?
Yes, there was a shooting. Did you guys? Okay, let me see a show of hands real quick. Who heard about the Ohio shootings? In Ohio. It was in Ohio. And I know last week there was actually a shooting as well. I know one of the family members of one of our members was shot right after school as a gang shooting and stuff like that too. It was a family member of one of our members here. Been praying for her, but specifically I wanted to ask you guys about the Ohio. So who has not heard about the whole Ohio school shootings? Not okay. Over in Ohio, I think it was yesterday or the day before. It was yesterday. Yesterday, over at a high school, there was a 17-year-old boy, and he brought a gun to school, and he walked in, I think it was on the breakfast period, we're eating breakfast, and just opened fire. Popped off 10 rounds, shot, I think it was five teenagers, and three of them died. One of them's in critical condition right now, and the other one, it was a girl. This is a good time to pay attention because I want to ask you guys some stuff. Everybody, can you have a mic too? And one of them was released and she's at home. And then another one, I think it's a guy. He's in critical condition right now. Now you think, Pastor Richard, what are we talking about this for? Well, I want to ask you guys some questions because, for the past couple weeks, Pastor Michelle was here last week. Turned out pretty good. Hey.
I like listening to her.
We've been talking about this. We've been going through a series called Amnesia, and we're talking about identity, you know. And today I want to talk to you guys about the things we do. Now, of course, I haven't prayed. I haven't gotten the message yet and stuff like that. But I want to get you guys' input. So for those of you guys who know or don't know me, I want some input on this. Why do you think either he or any one of the other shooters that have happened in the past, 12 years, do this? Does anybody want to share an opinion on, Caitlin, what do you, honestly, why do you think this happens?
Because they're upset at people because they think that no one loves them, or like there's things going on in their family or something like that, and they just want to take it out on other people, or they get like, people make fun of them, mm-hmm. So they try and get back at people like that.
Okay. Did everybody hear that? Who agrees with that statement? Who thinks, they want to get back, they're upset at people or the world or whatever it is? Who disagrees with that? Does anybody disagree? You guys don't think that's true? You don't think that's why they? You guys don't think that's why they shoot people like this? Huh? What do you guys think it'd do with them? You want to share? About the question I'm asking? Do you guys? Who, these guys? Okay. So you're saying this. You're saying it's not like this boy, people shoot because it's a part of a gang thing then instead. So like a revenge thing. You guys didn't think I would come back here, huh? Yeah, I know. I didn't think this was very funny. I thought it was kind of sad that three people died over there. I don't know about you guys either, but I thought it was kind of sad three people died over there. Okay. Well, if you guys aren't into what we're talking about, you guys can go to the main sanctuary and do your own thing. But I'm in here. I'm trying to do something in here and go someplace. So if you guys want to go some other place, you guys don't got to be here. I'm just. Is that okay? Is that okay? Huh? Okay. Well. Anyway, I'm gonna continue on with this conversation. Now let me read you guys this, because this is what they found on his Facebook. The day before he did this, this is what was on the Facebook. He wrote a poem, and he said, "In a quaint, lonely town sits a man with a frown. No job, no family, no crown. His luck had run out, lost and alone." The boy, his name is TJ Lane. He continued, it said this. He said, He was better than all the rest, all the ones he detests, within the castles, within their castles so vain, selfish and conceited. Now feel death, wriggle and writhe, feel smaller beneath my might, die, all of you. He wrote that poem the night before he went out and shot these people. I don't know. I mean, it was publicly on his Facebook. Now, when he was questioned, he didn't say anybody specifically bullied him, which is interesting because that's what I thought for sure. Because usually that's what happens. You get bullied, your kid's got a vendetta, they're out there to cap some people, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he wants to, you know, but he said he did it at random, which I don't know if that's true, honestly, because it's kind of trippy. What's that? You think it seems planned out? Well, I think he stole his grandfather's gun. So now, does anybody else want to give their piece on why they think this young man did this? I mean, what? Let me ask you that. Well, Hannah, let me get you real quick.
He didn't have God.
He didn't have God. I think that's, we're going to talk about that today. I think that's actually a really valid statement. Now let me ask you guys this next question. What kind of person brings a gun to school and shoots people on purpose? What you think? A crazy guy? Somebody who's crazy does that? Somebody who's insane, but they push to the edge. Somebody who's on the edge. Jackie? An angry person. You think a person is angry. Who else? An angry person out the back. Just go ahead and shout it out, Meek. Somebody who's been hurt. So it takes a person who's been hurt so many times. Who else? Shout it out me over here, bro. Someone who wants to throw what? A thrill. Oh, so you think it takes someone who they want the thrill of the kill. Okay, now that's kind of a trip because his poem kind of says that. It has a little bit in that, don't you think? So, okay, let's ask the last one right here. What do you think?
A broken person.
I agree with that. I mean, whether it's the thrill, whether it's anger, whether it's revenge, definitely a broken person, someone who needs God. Okay, let me ask you one more question. I want your input on this. Do you think anybody or every, do you think everybody is capable of this? So there's no person that's excluded from this kind of behavior. So you think anybody can be pushed to this edge? Okay. You think everybody's capable of it, but not everybody will do it. All right. I lied to you. I have one more question. I lied to you. No, I'm not lying. But one more question is this, is do you think there's anything you can do about this? What?
Pray.
What? Pray? What else? What else do you think you can do about it? You said pray. That's good. That's a really good spiritual answer, and it's true because it changes things. You want to give me a little bit of volume? If you see somebody posting something like that,
help them and guide them and pray for them. Don't just like see it. Oh well, you know, ignore it. That's not going to solve anything. If you see someone broken like that, the least you can do is like, you know, simple message, hey, God's with you, don't forget that, and stuff like that. Like, don't just ignore it.
So you mean see that as like a cry for help if you see something or hear somebody? What? I think that is a really big cry for help.
I think just in general, just encourage those around you so mm-hmm. that this doesn't even happen, you know?
So you think if he'd have been encouraged?
Just random little things. You don't know what you can do to brighten someone's day. You don't know how much that can really mean to them because you don't know what they're going through. So just little things.
It's good. I agree. I think that's right. I think you hit the nail on the head in a lot of areas. Now let's say this young man, with a lot of them, they don't have any friends to encourage them. So does that mean that we, as Christians, if you call yourself a Christian at his house, does that mean that we need to look for people who have nobody to encourage them? We need to chase after and look for those who have nobody and become their somebody. I remember one of the biggest things, I've told it a million times, and I'm going to say it a million more times, but one of the biggest revelations God's ever shown me was he told me one day, he said, you know, there's some people in this world that nobody's praying for. And I remember as soon as I heard God speak to me, and I haven't heard God speak in a lot of things, and it wasn't in an audible voice, but I remember when God told that to me, I remember I was in my bedroom, I think I was like 17 years old, and I remember God told me that, you know, there's some people in this world that nobody's praying for. And I thought, oh my God, let me be the person who prays for somebody who has nobody to pray for me. Could you? I mean, I had my crazy aunt to pray for me. I had my grandma praying for me. She wanted me to be a priest, but you know, I turned out okay. But you know, I had a mom who wasn't a Christian, but she at least knew enough to pray to God. You know, and I had people praying for me. But this young man, his dad he saw his dad choke out his girlfriends. You know, I mean, this guy was bounced back from family to family. He was in continuation schools. I mean, that's what he had to live with. And there's people in your school, even in this church right now, you may be sitting next to somebody or sitting in front of or behind somebody right now, and that's their life. So we need to be people who pray for other people. Let's do this. I could talk forever with you guys, because I love to hear from you guys. But let's do this. I want to go someplace real quick, and I want to get in some scripture. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll jump into the Word, and then we'll get this thing going, okay? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today, Father, for the opportunity we have to be able to speak to you. God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to come to your throne and have you hear us. So God, tonight as we pray, as we get into your Word, God, I pray that you would be in us and that we would be in you. God, that you would cause us to change from the inside out. God, that this wouldn't just be another night. It wouldn't be another time where we open this old book and we hear somebody talk about some opinions. But Father God, that tonight that your Spirit would speak to us. And God, we could leave this place with a mission in our heart, with a cause deep within us to do something bigger and greater than we have ever imagined we could do. God, today we acknowledge this thing, that without you, we're nothing. Without you, Father God, we're just another animal. But God, with you, we've been created in the image of God. With you in us, and with us in you, Father God, we have the ability to do the impossible. So Father God, cause us to be better, bigger, greater than another animal. And God, cause us to be something amazing. Cause us, Father God, to be who you created us to be from the very beginning of time. Not someone who takes life lightly, but who understands how deep of a problem sin is and how great of a God it is that we serve. Jesus, speak to us as only you can today. Father, we thank you, we worship you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Tonight, I didn't really mean tonight to be super heavy, but if that's the way it's going to go, that's the way it's going to go. We've been talking the past couple weeks, Pastor Michelle last week, about the potential God's put inside of you. You know, the acorn thing, everything is inside, and that's true. And the crazy thing is, inside of us are two natures, are two ways we want to go. You know, the flesh, the sinful way that wants to do bad things, hurt people, do things selfishly. And there's the way inside of us that's the godly way, the part of us that is tuned to the Spirit of God. And you know, inside of us is the potential for great evil and the potential for great good. And the question is, I've said it before, and I'll say it a million times again, is that whatever you feed will grow, and whatever you starve will die. In your life, if you choose to feed the sinful nature inside of you, it will grow until that is who you become. If you feed the spiritual aspect of you and you starve the fleshly, then that will grow until that becomes who you are. You see, you choose how your life turns out. See, God has an amazing plan for you. But if you want to fulfill that plan, then it will require you to feed the part of your life that God's involved in. You see, I believe that God has a plan for you because the Bible tells me, but I also believe this, that the devil has a plan for you. I believe Satan has a plan for you and a destiny for you just as much as God does. I mean, think about it. He has a plan for you to be destroyed, for you to be depressed. He has a plan for you just the same as God, except with a very different end to it. Now, in Ephesians 2:10, we've been kind of sitting here for the past couple weeks. Ephesians 2:10, if you have it, go ahead and give it to me up here. You guys got your Bibles and your phones, whatever. It says this. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. That word in the original Greek, it means poem. It means that we're God's work of art. That's what it means. He says, we were created in Christ for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should. Thank you. Walk in. You guys with me? That's okay. Dang, I didn't open my Bible that first. You guys did do this to me? 2:11. You guys got 2:11? Oh, go back real quick. Is that the back? Go back. Oh, we should walk in them. You guys are so smart. That's why I like keeping you guys around. Next one, 2:11. We should walk in them. I thought you guys brought your Bibles. Anyway, do you have 2:11? Nah, it's okay. I have mine. I'm not even reading it. Okay, that's what it says. It says, God prepared beforehand we should walk in them. Let's see. It says that you were created with a purpose and with good things in mind. It says that even beforehand, before the beginning of time, when you were in your mom's womb, God had prepared specific tasks, dreams, visions, the talents inside of you guys. So when you guys are born, you guys are walking them. See, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you. You know, the Bible even tells us, one of the very first things the Bible says, it talks about you and who you are. It says you were created in God's image. You have an identity in this place today. You know, the Bible says out of dust, God created me and you. Out of something that seems so common, something seems so dirty, something that seems so, I don't know, yucky, I guess. God picks up a handful of mud, breathes in it, and the Bible says that God created us. And it's true. I mean, dirt's made out of, the molecular form, dirt's made out of carbon, one of the most, common, elements in this world. That's what dirt made out of, carbon. And that's what you're made out of, too. The basis of who you, your molecular structure is carbon. It's what God made you out of, the dust, the dirt. Breathe life into it. But see, God took something common, dirt, dust, a big old clod of mud. God took a dirt ball, and he made you out of it. He took something common and made something valuable. God took something dirty and made something amazing. Because you're not dirty and you're not common. There's only one of you. Out of all the billions of people that ever lived, there's only one of you, and there only will ever be one of you. And God made you valuable. God made you amazing out of something common and dirty. God turned you into something amazing. And he said, you have a work, good works that he's made for you. God takes a mess. God takes something common, something used, something broken, and he makes it beautiful. See, that's what the cross was. You see, Jesus Christ is beautiful. He's God. He's everything. It's everything that we should be. And he became something ugly. So we, as ugly people, let's just be real. We've all been there. Can become beautiful. God himself reached down to this empty world and picked up a handful of dirt and made something beautiful out of it. And then we chose to go back to the dirt. So he went to the cross to make us, dirty people, beautiful again. You see, Ephesians says that we're a work of art. TJ in Ohio, who has to wear a bulletproof vest now when he goes to court, so family members don't try to kill him, had good work set before him, but he forgot. He forgot that God made beautiful works for him. He forgot that God created him wonderfully and fearfully. He forgot that he was made in God's image. He forgot because somebody didn't remind him. Maybe his parents never told him. Maybe he just heard that he was dirty for too long. He forgot these things. He forgot. And it happens to us all the time. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you feel weird. You're a little emotional. And here's the thing, is we forget all the time. See, in this whole amnesia thing, when somebody gets it on the head, they say, "Who? What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do?" You try to find these basic things to find out who you are. That's what you do, basic questions. And here's the thing, is who you are will determine what you do. Who you are and who you think you are determines what you will do. Ladies, who you think you are determines who you go home with.
Oh, thank you.
It's true. Who you think you are determines your GPA. Who you are determines where you'll be in 5-10 years. Who you associate with, who you don't associate with. Based on who you think you are. If you believe a lie and you forget who God created you to be, well, you'll find yourself in a difficult situation. But if you remember who God created you to be, then you'll find yourself having a whole new set of standards. See, insecure people will identify themselves by the people around them. You got to get a hold of this one. Insecure people will identify themselves with the people around them. TJ identified himself. I don't know the guy. I haven't heard the testimony. But oftentimes, these kids who bring guns and they shoot schools or anything, they identify themselves by what people say they are. They said they're stupid, dumb, they're a loser. They neglect them. They, you know, what people tell them around them. Even on the other side, a lot of insecure people are the popular, beautiful people based on who their friends are, what their labels are. See, they base their identity on the exterior, whether or not their GPA is high enough, whether or not they made the team this year or not, whether they are the head cheerleader or not, whether they, you know, whether this person likes them or not. See, insecure people base their identity on the people around them. But you see, secure people, the people we need to be, the people God's created us to be, secure people will base their identity on the person inside of them. And that person being Jesus Christ. That person being who you really are, who God created you to be. See, that's what a secure person is. See, people are insecure because everything around them changes all the time. Who my girlfriend is or who she isn't. How many boys like me or don't. You know, the situation of my family can make you really insecure because is mom coming home tonight or is she not going to come home tonight? That can make a person really insecure. What did my dad say or didn't say about me? That can make you really insecure, understandably. But you can't live your life based on the things on the outside of your life. You have to base your identity on the inside. Because God created the inside of you to be something amazing, wonderful, great value. That's why he died on that cross. That's why he was beat. You saw the picture. Jesus wasn't murdered. He gave his own life. He wasn't forced to go on that cross. Jesus chose to get on that cross for you, for the inside of you. And if you base your life on that, on the Jesus inside of you, which will never change, then you don't got to worry about all the things going on the outside of you, because that's going to change every day of your life. Even if you think of the most secure thing in your life, one day it's going to be shaken and it's not going to be there. It's not going to be there one day because it's subject to change, and it will change. It will change. The most secure thing you're holding on to one day will be shaken. And the only thing that will not be shaken is God himself. The Bible says that it says that heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. What do we always say? The sun's going to come up tomorrow. One day it's not going to. Yeah, one day it's not going to. One day the sun is not going to come up. Whether it's tomorrow or in a million years, I don't know. But one day it's not going to. But God will be there. Jesus will be there. The one thing that cannot be shaken, because it's the foundation of everything. And if that's what your identity is based on, then the way you act will change a lot. Because you won't be moved by these little things. You won't be moved by the in crowd or the out crowd. You won't be moved by mom and dad. You won't be moved by your GPA. You won't be moved by whether you make a lot or a little of money. You won't be moved whether the labels on your clothing are in or they're out. You won't be moved by this or by that. But you'll be secure in knowing that Jesus Christ loves you. And 2,000 years ago, he died for you. And that a million years ago, Jesus knew who you are and who you are going to be. And he was waiting for the moment to look you eye to eye. Then you all of a sudden you have an identity that refuses to stoop down to the level of killing somebody, hurting somebody, mocking and making fun of somebody. That refuses to give your body away so cheaply. That refuses to put garbage inside of you to get you high because you're trying to escape from the pain. No, 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 no. All of a sudden, when you know who you are, when you know who you really, really are, all of a sudden, when you have pain, you take it to the one who defines you, and he begins to heal you. Because if Jesus is the healer, then you have the healer on the inside of you. Take it to him. What happens? What? Look. Somebody who goes out and hunts all the time, they are a hunter. Someone who makes bread day after day after day, what is he? He is a breader. No, he is a baker. And together they can take down the Capitol. Anyway, somebody, thank you. Anyway, see, somebody who does something all the time, that helps define who they are. If it's in you, that's what happens. See, if you are who God says you are, that means you're a saint. You're a saint. So what do saints do? They sainticize. No, they, you know, if you are who God says you are, if a baker makes bread and a hunter hunts, and if a nurse heals people, and if a teacher teaches, and if someone who is a father loves and protects, if that's what they do because that's who they are, if you're a saint, you're not going to do stupid things like bring guns to school, because that's not what a saint does. No. A saint doesn't do that. You're not gonna find boyfriend after boyfriend after boyfriend after boyfriend. Because look, you're bigger than that. You're better than that. Because a saint doesn't act that way. And if that's who I am, then I'm not gonna mess around with that. Look, if you're a saint and if you are who God says you are, then you know what? Even though you may not fully agree with them, but you're gonna respect and honor your parents, because that's what a saint does. If you are a saint, then what you're going to begin to do, because if that's who you are, is you're gonna begin to pray and you're gonna believe things that God says, and you're begin to get into your word, because that's what a saint does. That's what they do. That's who they is. If you're in water polo, then after school for 4 hours, what are you doing? Treading water. Like an animal, man. You guys are crazy. That's what you do. If you're a cheerleader, what are you going to do? You're going to be there with your pom-poms, doing jumps, people throwing you in the air, doing backflips, flying. And then when the games come, you'll be on the sidelines. You're going to be there, bam, doing your cheer thing, encouraging people. Yeah. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be a cheerleader. But if you are a cheerleader, that's what you do. You cheer. If you are really a saint, then you will make it your business to do saintly things. Now, I'm not saying that you're on a necklace, or you know, you do miracles after you're dead. I'm not, you know, God bless that and all, but that's not what I'm talking about. A saint is anybody who calls himself a Christian. You're set apart for the things of God, and you don't got no time to mess with these other things. See, that's what it is. But you see, inside of every one of you is a saint and a sinner. Those are your two identities pegged on you. You feed your flesh, you become a sinner. You feed your spirit, you become a saint. Sinners sin. They disobey and they hurt. They mock and they make fun of. They destroy. A sinner thinks only about themselves, and they think about how they can get away with things. We make schemes and plans, trust me. We've all been there. You've thought about the lie. Where are you going to tell your mom you went there a night? Come on. All been there. You got caught. And if you didn't, wait till tomorrow, because they're going to catch you. They always do. Always. Gosh. That's what sinners do. They sin. That's what TJ became. TJ became a sinner when God designed him to be a saint. You were designed to be a saint. But will you become a sinner? Will you stay a sinner when God's called you to so much more? And if God's called you to more, then how come you're acting like it? Maybe not you or you or you. I don't know. You guys are pretty good people. But how come we do that sometimes? How come we stoop? How come we stoop to these things? Matthew, I think I'm going to wrap this verse up. I'm going to wrap it up here because I got a whole bunch of stuff here. But there's only so much we can get to. Matthew 12:33-34. The Bible says this. Oop, I went too far. Jesus said this. He said, here's 12:33. He said this. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. A tree is known by its fruit. That's how you know it's an orange tree. Why? Because it has oranges. All right. I know it's really deep here. But Jesus answered, said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. No sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah, which means that he died 3 days, rose again. That's what it is. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. It says, oh, man. I skipped a couple verses. Excuse me. I was like, wait a minute. This is not what I'm talking about. It says this. I skipped a couple verses. It says in verse 35 here. There we go. It says, the good person out of good treasure brings forth good. Evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There we go. Now you guys are on it. See, that's what it is. What's on the inside of you comes out. And that's how you can identify yourself. If you find evil coming out of you, then you need to check yourself because you're not acting like God created you to be. You got to go on the inside and say, God, what evil is inside of me that you need to root out? What it is? See, if you want to change what you do on the outside, if you want to change the way you act, the way you think, if you want to change what you do on the outside, you have to change what it is on the inside of you. It's the only way. See, if you try to change the outside of your life first, you become a hypocrite. That's what Jesus said. He said, he went to all the religious people and said, look, you guys are hypocrites. You guys on the inside are disgusting, but you guys try to act like you aren't. No. If you want to become the person God's called you, you have to, number one, say, look, I'm disgusting. I am a slob. I am an evil, nasty freak of nature. I am dirt. I am dirt. On the inside of me, I am dirt. But God can change that. That's what it takes. See, the religious people, they said, no, 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 I'm perfect, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm all right. And they put this act on. But on the inside, they were dirty and ugly and disgusting. They weren't willing to face it. But a real Christian, if somebody says, look, I am broken on the inside, and the only way I can get my act together is not by stopping this or stopping that, but by giving my life to Christ. And when I change who I am on the inside of me, then it'll change who I am on the outside of me. Because I have to first say, hey, look, I'm a sinner. I got these ugly things in my life. I know I got these issues. But when I give them to God, it changes who I am. And all of a sudden, who I am changes. And now I'm a saint. Now I'm somebody who's saved by God. Now I'm somebody who's been forgiven. Now I'm somebody who's been restored. Now I'm somebody who was, and I am who God called me to be. I am who God created me to be because I'm giving up the garbage on the inside of me. And when I do that as a saint, I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, by God's goodness, by God's greatness to do great things. And that's the way it works. You want to change your behavior? Change who you are. You want to change your behavior? Change who you see yourself as to be. Ladies, it's time that you stop believing what people say about you. Gentlemen, it's about time you stop living the way people have pegged you to be. And it's time to believe what God's called you to be. Because on the inside of you is something amazing and great. You're not a thief. So stop stealing. You're not a hoe. So stop acting like that. You are not stupid. You are not stupid. So stop being stupid. You are not trash. So stop holding yourself like that. You're not dirty. So stay away from the mud. Right? 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 You're not a loser. So start acting like someone who wins. That's what it is. If you could believe that about yourself, because God believes it, change the way you look at yourself. Change the way you wake up in the morning. It'll change the way you go to bed. It'll change the way you walk into school. It will change the way you talk to your parents. If you begin to believe that you are a good son or a good daughter, it'll change the way you talk to other people. Hey, you don't got to believe it. You don't got to believe it. But it's true. And you could live however you want. And you can believe you are whoever you are. But it's not until you believe what God says about you that you begin to see the change in your life. Look, I'm not here to hype anybody. I'm here to tell you what God says about you. And if you believe it, it'll change your life. Wait, no, not just your life. It'll change the lives around you. But if you choose to believe what other people say about you, then you can live that way. But I'm a saint, and I got better things ahead of me. I don't know where you're going. I know where I'm going. I'm on my way to heaven. I know where I'm going. I am on my way to success and blessing. Look, I'm not on my way to an easy life because God never promised me an easy life, but God promised me a good life. So I'm not going to settle for nothing less than a good life, because that's what God promised me. So I have no time to be depressed. Even though I want to be depressed, I am not depressed. I will not be depressed. Look, I want to be grumpy, and I want to punch people sometimes. But I am not violent, because God did not call me to be violent. So I ain't punching nobody. Not even the wall, sometimes. Look, I'm not a pervert. I'm not. So I'm not going to do perverted things. God called me holy, so I will put nothing before my eyes that is not holy. And when unholy thoughts come into my mind, I will change my thoughts to be something holy, because that garbage doesn't belong in my life. And I will not go that way, because I am holy, because I am a son of God, because I am valuable, because God thought it was worthy for him to shed his blood on that cross for me. So who am I? Who am I to live my life anything cheaper than that? And if we believe that about ourselves, I think we'd see a lot less shootings. I think we'd see a lot less unplanned pregnancies. I think we'd see a lot more families staying together. I think we'd see a lot more of us in this room going to college. I think we'd see a lot more of us changing the world around us. I think we'd see lower crime rates. I think we'd see fewer people starving in Africa. I think we would see there would be less corruption in the government. I think we would see a lot. I think we'd see more pastors and preachers. I think we'd see more missionaries. I think we'd see fewer homeless. I think we would see people who have a passion for life instead of people being depressed. Look, if we would believe it because God said it about us, we would see change, because I'm sick and tired of San Bernardino being the armpit of California. Look, the reason you live in the hood is because you haven't changed the hood. I had a saying when I was growing up. I grew up in the hood. I had a saying, the hood stopped at the gate, because I didn't live in the hood. Well, my house was in the hood. But my house wasn't hood. Even though it was on the drug watch list of San Bernardino for a couple years, I wasn't. That was my other family member. You know what I'm saying? Just because you live in the hood don't mean the hood got to live in you. Because I'm a child of God. Ain't no ghetto in heaven. I don't care what they said. I mean, you could still be kind of thug, but, you know, ain't no ghetto in heaven. Jesus take you tattoos, eye patch and all, shoot. But things are the way they are because somebody hasn't stepped up to change them. My God says he could, I'm going to preach forever, shoot. I'm going to tell Pastor Jim, keep on preaching, because I'm going to preach forever. Y'all go to sleep right here. I'm going to put you guys to sleep. No, here's what it is. If God said he could do the impossible and he's inside of you, how about we start believing for the impossible? Oh, man. Anyway, Pastor Riff preached. I got a video I'm supposed to show. I wanted to pray for people. Man, I ain't got no time up in here. Pastor Joe, help a brother out. Man. I don't know, man. Where's the band? Get the band up here. I know Chris isn't here. It's okay. I don't need Chris anyway. I love Chris, don't get me wrong. He's my boy. He just has to go get the word himself. 1 Corinthians 6:9. You don't got to turn there. 1 Corinthians 6, 7, 8, and 9. Maybe even 10. It's an ugly list of things. But in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, the Bible says, you used to be that way. You don't got to put it up there or anything. It says, thieves, idolaters, all these things. He says, that's the way you used to be. Used to be. Used to be. But God changed that. We're all born into this world, and it's tough. I don't even have to convince you that. It's tough. Nothing easy about it. But you can either face these things that God that this world's thrown at you, with God or without God. You could face it as a sinner. You face it as a saint. You're not going to make it as a sinner. You could do good and do nice things. I mean, just like, you know, a baker, maybe he'll make a bad batch of bread every once in a while. You know, Me, I'm not a baker. I made bread once in my life. But it's the exception. Baker usually always makes great bread. A sinner can do good things every once in a while, but that's the exception, not the rule. A saint will do bad things every once in a while, but it's the exception, not the rule. Life's tough, and that's not changing. If you're a saint, you believe God. If that's who you identify with, if that's who's on the inside of you, and that's how you see yourself, you will do good more than you do bad. Because that's who you are. That's what you do. But if you're trying to do this thing on your own, and you're identifying yourself by the people and the circumstances around you, you'll do good, but you'll do more bad than good. Because that's what you do. It's only the power of the cross, Jesus Christ, that changes a man or a woman from a sinner to a saint.